Good afternoon. I'll ask that you turn your Bibles to Proverbs and chapter 9. Proverbs and chapter 9, and we'll read the whole chapter, verse 1 to 18. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 to 18. The Bible reads, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, 'Come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight.'" Verse 7. "Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it." Verse 13. "The woman of folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant.' But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depth of Sheol." I want to welcome you to today's chapel hour, and those who are joining us on Faith Radio 92.1 FM, and also on our Facebook Live. And we want to continue with our studies from the book of Proverbs. And we have gotten to a point where we are basically concluding a section that we began from chapter 1. This section begins from chapter 1 and runs through chapter 9, and it's basically an introduction to the ways of wisdom. And so you have been admonished from chapter 1 on what are the privileges and the blessings of following wisdom. And chapter 9 will come as a way of conclusion. And in chapter 9, we are presented with two ways. And this is simply a way of, we are asking, the author of Proverbs is asking, "My son, I have told you about the ways of the wise man, or the ways of wisdom, and also the ways of folly. Which one are you going to follow? Because the way that you're going to choose from here on, in the book of Proverbs chapter 10, going forward, this will be specific proverbs that will apply to one who is wise or to one who is foolish. So if you're wise and you listen to the admonition that were given, the instructions that were given from chapters 1 to 9, you are going to be described from chapter 10 all the way to the end of the book. So it's going to talk about a wise child, a wise son, and the way that he follows. And the things that he chooses will be things that will give him life and not death. And so we are going to look at this chapter together. We'll look at the whole chapter. And the chapter really divides in three sections. There's the first section which talks about the wise woman, or wisdom has been personified as a wise woman, verses 1 to verse 6. And then there is a section, verse 7 to 12, which really kind of moves out of topic, but again we'll see that it is an important section that we need in the passage. And then from verse 13 to 18 will be the last part, which tells us about the second way of folly or a foolish woman. Now in Swahili there are some sayings, some proverbs. One of them, I'll say them in Swahili and then I'll translate. You'll not get the best of it, but you'll get something. It says, asiyefunzwa na mamaye hufunzwa na ulimwengu. He who is not taught by the by his mother will be taught by the world. Another one says that asiyesikia la mkuu huvunjika guu. One who doesn't listen to the instructions of an older person will break his own leg. And you see, Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, from chapter 1 to chapter 9, you basically have this father who is instructing his son, knowing that if I don't instruct my son, the world will teach my son, and the ways of the world will lead to destruction, will basically break his own leg. See, the world will tell you all kinds of things. And today it is not difficult for you to go out there and see that every man is pursuing his own way. No one is pursuing wisdom, as the Bible instructs us, but every man is pursuing his own way. You see, pursuing wisdom is walking and doing things God's way, while folly is pursuing man's way. If you look at the world today, people are pursuing man's way and not God's way. God's way is also referred to us in the scriptures as Christ-likeness. Being like Christ, following in the footsteps of Christ, which will lead to life. Well, when you follow man's way, you will lead or you will end up in destruction. Today, many people, like I said, are pursuing their own ideas. What man has decided is good. What man has decided pleases you. And for this reason today, there are bars all over. Every corner you go to, there's a new opening. Go to Mukuba Mall today and you'll find, you know, there are things on promotion so that they can attract that one who is following his own way and wants to please self, because the world is saying, please self, choose what makes you happy. And so the world is busy advertising those things. On TVs and radios, even today when you open, you turn to your radio on TV, you will hear adverts running on TVs and radios. One of them is condomize and be brother for life. Choose your own way. New deals, promotions, everything. All these things are coming today because the world has discovered something, that man is choosing his own way. No one is running after God. No one is choosing God. Churches, if you thought about when I said no one is choosing, you're saying, well, no, I think I am choosing God. Christians are choosing God. Today, churches and pastors are seeking to protect their own money. Churches are after protecting numbers, protecting individuals, because they're going to miss and lose on tithe. And they compromise on the gospel. Christians themselves are not necessarily pursuing holiness. Today, you ask and you'll find that very few people are pursuing Christ in all things. Very few are going out to preach the gospel or to teach what the word of God is saying. Unless it is a program, no one will do it. That's what the church has become today. In an institution like this, these things will be true. Today, Brother Kaseke is attending a careers day at CBU. If you go there, you'll find business people who are telling young children that, well, it doesn't really matter. You can choose a career that pleases you. Whatever makes you feel good. You want to be a doctor? How does that make you feel? Choose that. Follow your heart. Your heart will never be wrong. But no one is turning to the Bible and telling them, look, your heart is deceitful. Your heart will lead you to destruction. Follow Christ. Be like Christ. Follow wisdom. Choose wisdom. The word of God tells us. So basically today, man has these two ways, God's way and man's way, And many of us are attracted to follow man's way. Feels easier. Well, I don't have to have, you know, faith or to follow some instructions written in a book, in an old book. I can do what I choose, what I wake up and think. Like I said, in an institution like this, one out of five persons are pursuing self and seeking to please self. In all the messages that have been preached to us from chapter 1 to chapter 8, we have been admonished to avoid sexual immorality. But you'll find that in a semester, we will have one of us who will be caught or who will pursue this foolishness and will fall into sexual immorality. We have been admonished to work hard and not be lazy. We have been admonished to know God and to love His word. We have been admonished to avoid evil people and the ways of the evil or the sinners. You have been admonished to desire the blessings of wisdom. That was for last week. But if we ask many of the students here, many of us are following what we feel like, this is the best for me. Now, in these final remarks here in Proverbs chapter 9, we basically find an invitation. And there are two invitations. The first one is being given to us, to one woman personified as wisdom, and the other one personified as folly. Chapters 1 to 12, talking about wisdom, and 13 to 18 as foolishness. And the question that Solomon will seek to ask is this, that you have heard, you have listened from chapter 1 to 8, you've heard the admonitions that have come to you. And after all this, what are you going to choose? Will you choose wisdom, or will you choose the way of foolishness? And I want us to look at the first, or the two ways that have been given to us, and then we'll conclude by seeing how does a man who follows or who chooses wisdom, how does that one look like? And that is what we're going to conclude with. So the first one, beginning from verse 1 to 12, are the invitations or the invitation of Lady Wisdom. The invitation of Lady Wisdom. And when you look at chapter 9, verse 1, she prepares. Look at her preparation. We are told that her beautiful home, a large house with seven pillars, verse 1. And perhaps number 7 suggests the idea of completeness, that it lacks nothing. As you can compare that in James chapter 3. If you can turn to James chapter 3, and verse 17, it says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And perhaps when looking at the seven that has been written here in Proverbs chapter 1, some people have said that perhaps this is referring to what James talks about, the seven pillars of wisdom in James chapter 3 and verse 17. But go on, look at her house. She has prepared a sumptuous feast, meat and wine. She has prepared her own wine, mixed properly, so that no one will get drunk, but it will bring the gladness of heart. She has furnished her own table, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 2. Carefully prepared, beautifully presented. Lady Wisdom has made great effort in making these provisions. And apart from preparing these things, she goes out and makes her plea. She calls people to come in. She wants to be heard. She shouts. She sends people. She sends maidens in verse 3. Because she has sent out her young women to call from all the highest places in the town. And this reminds us of how Jesus came on the earth. And he didn't keep the message to himself, but he chose his disciples and sent them out time and time again. And this wise woman does the same. She prepares the house. She has prepared everything that she needs. And she gets her maidens and sends them out. She cries out from the highest places of the city. She invites the simple and those who lack understanding. And she says to come and eat and drink for the feast that has been prepared. And then she says in verse, and you look at verse 7. And in verse 7, she's basically very picky in who she is going to call. She says, I will not invite the scoffers. Saying, correcting a scoffer only shames and harms the one doing the correcting. She warns the maidens or her servants who are going out that when you go out, do not invite the scoffer, because the scoffers will just shame you or bring harm to you. You know, Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, he told them which house to go into and which one not to go into. The one you go to and they do not receive you, dust your feet and move on and go to the next house. And you see similarities with what Jesus is doing. And this woman is wise and she knows, do not waste time to the scoffers. He says, the wise and the just, whoever appreciates, will learn from whatever he's told. Those who want, those who have been prepared properly, those who have understood what Solomon is saying from chapters 1 to 8, will listen to this call and they will come, because they have the head knowledge. They know that I am not supposed to follow folly, but wisdom. Lady Wisdom makes great effort to reach out to those who will listen, those who will pay attention, those who are seeking knowledge, those who are seeking to God. And then she gives them promises. The third thing we see about this woman is that she gives promises. She promises wisdom and understanding in verse 10 to those who fear the Lord. To those who know the Lord, those of you who have already heard the word, you have already heard my call, you will have wisdom and understanding. Long life, verse 11, she says, for by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise to yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. And basically what she's saying, you'll have long life, your days will be multiplied, and the benefits are yours and yours alone. You see, the benefits of following wisdom do not necessarily profit other people, you know, leaving you out. You will benefit yourself. It is Christ who says, knock and it will be opened to you. Seek and you will find. Not knock and others will enter, or seek and others will find it. There is great benefit even to oneself. Wisdom will bless oneself if you have God's help. You see, it is not bad to pursue some of the things we see in the world. That's why we have jobs today. Pursuing to live well. But you can do that if you have God. Pursuing God and all these things will be added to you. If you scorn the call of wisdom, on the other hand, you will hurt yourself. Asiyesikia la mkuu huvunjika guu. You will break your own leg. You are competing with yourself. I will not say the other proverbs, they are a bit not very nice, but I prepared them, but I'm looking at all of you, I'm like, no, I will not say this. But there are many other proverbs that we can look at that, you know, tell us about this, that when you scorn the wisdom that has been given to you, you will walk the other way. And guess what? Destruction will be there for you, waiting for you. But then, you see, wisdom here wants you to have the best life possible. Well, because God is not only calling you, you know, he's not only saving you and saying, well, you can be saved and be miserable. No, he's saving us today. And at the same time, he has said, follow these things, pursue holiness, and you leave, you will know what potholes to avoid. Once you pursue wisdom, pursue holiness, pursue God. What about the foolish woman? What does she do? Verse 13, she prepares. Just like the wise woman, she prepares. But what does she do? She prepares. She really makes no preparation. Well, she is prepared. She's sitting there, but she does nothing else. She really makes no preparation. Instead, she is loud. And when I was reading, I found some people have really described this woman with that annoying loud voice, screaming on top of her voice. She is seductive and knows nothing, empty words. She knows nothing. She's loud-mouthed, some people have said, empty-headed. Compare her, as you compare her, you know, to this woman, the wise woman, who has taken meat, she has slaughtered her animal, prepared her table, and does all these things, hired servants so that they can go out to call out. What about her call? She makes a call. But what does she do? She sits at the door of her house. And like the lady wisdom, who goes out, hires women, and sends servants out, she sits alone. She makes her own chair, a high seat. She sits in a very high place, verse 14. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town. These are like the adverts we have today. People are spending millions and millions of dollars just to make advertisements or to make whatever it is to attract, you know, people today. I listened to this advert of condomize and be a brother for life. And then at the end, it was sponsored by World Health Organization, World Shan Shan Yuko, huge organizations are the ones sponsoring that advert. And I say that is exactly what a foolish woman here does. Folly does exactly the same. That will sit on the high place, adorn her with all the jewelry that she can get. And she doesn't care about who is coming in. Because not, she doesn't tell them about what is going to happen. She doesn't tell them about the promises. She doesn't tell them that this way will lead you to death. The man finds out himself. Look at verse 15. Calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is present. But she doesn't say this. The young man finds out himself. But he doesn't know that the dead are there. That her guests are in the depths of Sheol. You see, some of these calls of folly, they don't advertise the death that is waiting for you on the other end. It is all polished with gold. Your path is straight and nice. But the end of it all, there is a trap, there is a hole waiting for you to fall. And you find out only when you have already fallen. Why? Because you didn't listen to the instructions given to you before. Woman folly knows or known best for her adulterous ways, promises much but delivers the worst life possible. And so you have these two ways, the way of wisdom and the way of folly. And really, Solomon is saying, my son, which one are you going to pick from now on? I have prepared you enough. I have told you everything you need to know. Whose invitation are you going to accept? The lady folly or the lady wisdom? The lady wisdom has prepared much, and she will deliver, she will give you much. But lady folly promises a lot, but she delivers very little. The choice is obviously ours. The choice is yours. But again, the choice is so obvious. When you look at, you know, in the passage we have, it says, you choose wisdom and you live. I'll give you life. But choose folly, choose foolishness, and you have death. And a man presented with that, he says, well, it's too difficult to choose. Should I choose foolishness and die? How does it feel to die? I don't know whether that's how we feel about it. How does it feel to have life? I don't know how we need to think before we can make this decision, but the choice really here is obvious. Even the simple ones, those who lack understanding, can choose the right thing. Choosing God's way. There is no way you can be satisfied by just knowing the facts. Well, I know choosing God or choosing wisdom, I'll go to heaven and I'll have good life on earth. And choosing foolishness, that road will lead me to destruction. I know that. But that's not enough. You cannot be satisfied by that. Knowing the truth is not enough. Knowing the way of wisdom is not enough. You need to choose to follow wisdom. You need to choose wisdom. You need to choose wisdom every single day. Choosing wisdom is choosing God. It is choosing Christ-likeness. To be like Christ. To be sanctified on daily basis. To be close to Jesus Christ. To sit under his feet on daily basis. And to feed from him. To love his words. This Jesus has been called the wise one. Are you going to choose God's way or man's way? Are you going to follow your own way or what God has chosen? You see, the life of those who follow wisdom has already been given to us. And I'll help you to see that. If you can turn back to Proverbs chapter 2, and I'll just read a bunch of these passages. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9 to 22 says, if you follow wisdom, verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity. Or equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be present to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the very way of evil, or the way of evil, from the men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, and delight in the of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman as well. And so you will walk, verse 20, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of righteousness. Again, if you look at Proverbs chapter 3, if you just move forward to chapter 3, you find that when you follow wisdom, you will have a sweet sleep. You will not be troubled by the things of the world. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain of silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast are called blessed. See, look at verse 21. My son, do not lose sight of this. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and there will be life for your soul, an adornment for your neck. Verse 24. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You know, there are many things that we follow today we pursue as human beings. And many of the things we pursue when we are led by self, will always, all the time, they will lead us to a way that has no peace and there is no sweetness in sleep. Someone sent me a message yesterday, a photograph of a husband and wife who are sleeping, and the wife wakes up in the middle of the night and says, hey honey, you didn't set the alarm. And the man turns to him and says, don't worry, the troubles of the world will wake us up. And that is true. You don't need an alarm. By 04, you remember, I need to know what is on promotion at Mukuwamo. I need to run there. Oh, my head is killing me. I need another bottle. You will wake up. Oh, your wealth today, you will not have sleep. You don't need an alarm. You will not be able to sleep. Because where you put all your money, your hands, that's where your heart is. That's where your brain is. And you can't even find sleep because you've chosen that way. But if you choose wisdom, you see, this wisdom is precious. And nothing you look for can compare to it. Nothing you look for can compare to it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. Proverbs 8, 32. These are all these things we have looked at. Then we have studied through these things. The two says, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instructions and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors, wisdom will say. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Again, wisdom is saying, well, you see, if you don't choose wisdom, if you don't choose Christ, in other words, you love death. You see, the Pharisees were caught in that very trap. They said, we can love everything else. You see, I pray, I fast, I give, I do all these things. I do everything. I check every box that is there to be checked in my life. But go and sell everything and follow me, wisdom will say. And the man will walk away scratching his head saying, how come I missed that? And they will never come back. And Jesus knew. So it's very difficult for that one. Because they are pursuing something else. Pursuing riches and everything else that is out there. And not wisdom. And Jesus knew and says, very, very, very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's the same thing that is happening to us today, that if you do not choose wisdom, you do not choose God's way, you're headed to destruction. You'll be just like that foolish person talked about. Proverbs 4, as we finish here, Proverbs 4, the last thing we see here, as we come to the end, Proverbs 4, 5, says, get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful gallant, and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown. You see, when you look at this, you see, choosing Christ, listening to Christ and his words, you have chosen life. You will choose life. That when you follow Christ and listen to his words, you pay attention to his words, well, he will lift you up. You see, you're not a proud man. You are a humble person who is following Christ. And he says, he will place a crown on your head. The best thing for us today and our lives is Jesus. That's the best you can follow today. That's the wisdom that you can follow today. Jesus Christ. Choose Jesus and you will be wise. Christ-likeness is wisdom. You can be educated, very much so, and be foolish without Jesus. You can be rich and be a fool without Jesus. You can pursue your religious studies and be a foolish man without Jesus. Like I mentioned, the Pharisees did all these things. Pursue Christ-likeness and love his word. You see, this is the call that has been made to you. You have heard everything that has come from this pulpit, from chapters 1 of Proverbs, all the way to here. And are you going to be foolish and follow the ways of this foolish woman? Or are you going to follow the ways of the wise? You see, when you look at what Jesus has done, the reason why we are emphasizing Jesus, if you read in Matthew 13 verse 44, the Bible says here, Jesus himself is saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one of them of a great value, went and sold all that he had so that he can come and buy this. You see, following Jesus, you have to leave everything else and pursue Christ alone. See, Jesus prepared, or God has prepared, this wisdom to be followed. He made the whole universe. He chose one man, Abraham, to be the father of the nations, so that through him, all of you can be blessed. All of us can be blessed. And when the Jews were presented with the same choices, they said, "Well, we know, we are children of Abraham." And Jesus says, "No, you're not. Because if you knew your father, if you are of your father, you could have followed wisdom. You could have listened to what I am saying." Jesus told them. And they were there bragging about being of their father. But they were not. We need to listen to his voice. We need to listen to God's word. Proverbs, already we have heard all those things. To know his way. This is not natural to us. You know, it is not our mind. We don't hear these things in our minds. Love your neighbor. Honor your parents. Honor your master. Pray for your enemies. We don't hear those things from our minds. That is wisdom who speaks those things. And when we pursue wisdom and love wisdom, we will get all those instructions. And getting them, hearing them is not enough. We need to meditate upon them. Memorize them. Bind them on our hands, as Deuteronomy would say. Write them on our doorsteps. All the words of wisdom, teach them to our children. As we sleep, as we walk, as we stand, as we sit. Deuteronomy says that. Are you following, or which one are you choosing? Are you choosing wisdom, the way of wisdom, or the way of foolishness? Are you choosing God's way, or are you choosing man's way? That is simple. The moment you choose to do what pleases you, you've chosen your own way. And the end of your own way are bones of others who have followed the same way, and they died. The proverb I said I will not say says this. I'm saying it at the end so that I will not be held accountable to it. Says, "Ashindanaye na ndovu kunya hupasua mkunduwe." And what that means is that you might compete with an elephant to poo. But you are the one who will have a problem. And what that means is this. You can beat yourself the way you want. You can see the world is going this direction, you compete with the world. The world is going this direction, you compete with the world. But at the end of it all, you will suffer yourself. You yourself. It's a foolish man who digs a hole when going, saying, "My enemies will see." And he forgets that he's coming back home at night. And he falls in the same ditch. And that's following foolishness. Following wisdom says, love your enemy. Do what you want them to do to you. You know what others want to do to you. You do to them and they will do it to you. And all those kind of things. So this is really a practical lesson to us. Are you going to follow wisdom or foolishness? Think through your life. In what ways do you follow foolishness or self? How many times in a week you can think, every time I do this, that's me doing it, not wisdom. And think about How many times in a week you follow the ways of wisdom? When God pours His grace on you and He blesses your ways. And compare the two. See, in what, which days are those that you got really very excited, that you were very satisfied because you chose one or the other? And I promise you, when you look into your life, every time you chose self, that was not good life. Every time you chose God's way and wisdom, you enjoyed life. Whether it was in pain, in poverty, in whatever it is, as long as you chose God, there is joy. But every time you choose self, there is grief, there is pain, there is anger, and all the kind of things the world and the flesh will offer. Think about your life. Which one are you going to follow? Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we have heard from Solomon, we've heard the teachings that have come to us from the book of Proverbs, from verse chapter 1 to now chapter 9. And oh Lord, we can see clearly that you have chosen to present to us these two ways, and you're asking us, which way are we going to follow? Oh Lord, we pray that you will give us grace, that in our lives, as we walk every single day, that we will choose wisdom, that we will choose to be like Christ, that we would want and we will choose to go where Christ would go, do the things that Christ would do if he was here on earth. Cause us, oh God, to meditate upon your word and to seek your word so that we can know the ways of wisdom that you have chosen for us. Lord, be with each one of us, for we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.